Senator, remember when Harry Bennett was here, he always used to say, good morning, everyone. We miss Harry. Looking again this morning at Amos chapter 5, Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? And in chapter 4, verse 12, we read, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. Several weeks back, we read these verses at the Lord's Supper, and we considered how that the Israelites wanted the day of the Lord, as they believed that Messiah would come and deliver them from all their enemies. But God is telling them through Amos that the day of the Lord will bring them judgment and not deliverance, because they had not repented of their sin and turned back from worshipping their idols to worshipping the one true God. And not in having done so, that they were not prepared to meet God. Then we considered that we also, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are looking for the Lord to return to the air and for the rapture of the church, when all believers who are alive at this time, along with all those believers who have died in Christ, whose soul and spirit will be united with our resurrection body, and along with these believers who are alive at this time, whose bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and will all be caught up bodily along with the Lord Jesus into heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. Then we ask the question, as we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are we prepared to meet the Lord? Because along with all the wonders that the Lord brings, when the Lord comes to the air, also comes the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14 and 10. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. We must all ask ourselves, will my work be gold, silver, precious stones that will abide the fire of the Lord's judgment and receive a reward? Or will my work be wood, hay, stubble, and be burned up by the Lord's judgment, and I suffer loss? Oh, I'll still be saved, but as by fire. So we have to build works of gold, silver, precious stones, ere the Lord comes, or we are called home, because we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27 and 1. And thy soul is required of thee this very night. Luke 12 and 20. So that at what level of spirituality we attain during our lifetime determines at what level of authority we are able to participate, firstly, in the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and after, in the Lord's everlasting kingdom. We don't go to sleep a private, wake up a captain, all right, Bert? Position has to be earned. Saved good enough, but as by fire, or with reward, the choice is ours. And if you are listening to this message, whoever you are and wherever you are this morning, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then you need to be saved. And you need to be saved today, because Scripture states that now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth, because thy soul may be required of thee this night. To be saved today, simply in prayer, say to the Lord Jesus Christ that you need to be saved. Then ask the Lord to save you, and you will be saved immediately. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever includes you and me shall be saved today. Turn with me now to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 is a whole chapter about the day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be delivered, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day or night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, the day of the Lord. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter it shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in the holes. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbour, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbour. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all beasts that shall be in these tents at this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and save therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Verse 1 states, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. And we know that the day of the Lord has not happened yet. So the day of the Lord has still to happen. And verse 2 tells us that this will happen when the Lord has gathered all nations, that is all Israel's enemies, against Jerusalem to battle. And verse 3 states, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations." And verse 4 states that the Lord shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And here we see the location of the Lord's return to this earth. And remember Acts chapter 1 verse 6, when the Lord Jesus Christ, after his crucifixion, death, burial and resurrection, had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, the Lord's disciples, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And the Lord said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when the Lord had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. In these verses we see that the Lord assembled. In these verses we see that the Lord ascended bodily into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And when at this time, that is the day of the Lord will return to the Mount of Olives. Notice that in verse 6, that the disciples expected the Lord to restore again the kingdom to Israel at that time. And at that time, when the Lord was there, Israel had been in the possession of the Gentiles from Nebuchadnezzar to the Caesars of Rome, and will be until the Lord returns to the Mount of Olives, when it is time for the day of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 1 reads, "Again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvellous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, where we read that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in Zechariah 8:20, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go up speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Today, the nation of Israel has a great many enemies among the nations and very few friends, so much so that they say that they will drive Israel into the sea. And from when Israel has been established from 1948, there have been many attempts by her enemies to do so, but all have failed. And even today, Israel is being bombarded by enemy rockets continually. Israel's enemies are against Jerusalem being established as the capital city of Israel. But as we read in Zechariah 14:16, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." And verse 23 of 8, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." In these verses we see that not only will Jerusalem be the capital city of Israel, but that Jerusalem will one day become the capital city of the whole world, when the Lord of hosts resides there in the day of the Lord. And All those of all languages and nations will be going about to find a Jew to go up to Jerusalem with them to the Feast of Tabernacles. And the ratio is 10 people to one Jew. There's not much anti-Semitism at this time. Today, Israel's enemies do not realize that when they fight against Israel, that they are fighting against the Lord of hosts, a war which they cannot win. In Zechariah chapter 14, 16, where we read that, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." In verse 17 we see that the King, the Lord of hosts, will discipline any and all disobedient nations who will not attend the Feast of Tabernacles by withholding the rain from them. And indeed the Lord has used bad weather conditions throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, to discipline disobedient men. To Genesis 6 and 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In the Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast of his kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. 15 cubits upward did the waters spread, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of the heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And their waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of the fowl and the cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And here we see that the Lord controlled the rain and the fountains of heaven and of the deep to flood the earth. Then after all living was destroyed, the Lord controlled the wind to dry the earth. Then in 1 Kings 17 and 1 we read, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Then in chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." And here we see that the Lord disciplined Ahab and Israel by withholding the rain, causing a drought for 3 years. Then when the Lord restored the rain, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Then in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we read, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith, That is the Lord, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm and wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was nigh full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And here we see the Lord controlling a great storm of wind and the tumultuous raging sea by his word. Then in Job chapter 1 verse 6 we read, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his, that's Job's sons, and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, There came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and have burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The patience of Job indeed. And here we learn that Satan can only afflict a believer only as much as the Lord permits him to. But what we want to see here this morning is that in verse 16, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And that is that Satan can control lightning. And then in verse 19, "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead." And here we see that Satan can control the wind, as he sent a great wind from the wilderness to destroy the house, killing all of Job's sons and daughters. Then we wonder, was Satan behind the great storm of wind that made the sea tumultuous to try and sink the ship with the Lord and his disciples in it? Then the Lord rebuked that wind. The Lord is in control. Then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 13, we read, "And when the dragon, Satan, that saw he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman, that is the Jewish remnant, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, the Jewish remnant, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And here again we see Satan controlling the weather by sending a flood to drown the remnant of the Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord overrules, and the earth opens up and swallows Satan's flood, and the Jewish remnant of believers are saved and escape. Today, as all around the world, people are experiencing extreme weather conditions, heat waves, tsunamis, typhoons, hurricanes, droughts, and water shortage, and then by devastating floods that burst dams, and they wonder where it will all end. Then the scientists and the meteorologists tell us that the extreme weather is caused by climate change, which is caused by global warming, and they don't have a clue that God controls the weather, and often uses the control of the weather to discipline man, that is mankind, because mankind is going too far in their sin. And it is small wonder that the scientists and the meteorologists have not got a clue about the discipline of the Lord, because in their wisdom, they believe in a big bang, rather than in a creator who upholds all things by the word of his power. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we see what the scientists and the meteorologists and all the wise of the world think of God, that there is no God. But what does God think of them? If you look at Matthew 5 and 43, Matthew 5 and 43 reads, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So God loves them. He gave his son for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just as he gives us the sun and the rain to bless us, he gives also them the sun and the rain to bless them. And he loves them, and he gave his son for them, but they won't believe. And we see that God is also the controller of the good and the fair weather. Satan has blinded their minds, and as they don't believe in God, then they don't believe there is a devil either. But one day they will believe in the devil, because 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7 states, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the wisdom of this world, they reject the Lord, but there is a day coming when they will accept Satan and receive the mark of the beast. Revelation 13 and 11. And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, and whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that both understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. Yeah. 666. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone have an ear, let him hear. In the wisdom of this world they reject the Lord, but there is a day coming when they will accept Satan and receive the mark of the beast. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 reads, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the devil, Satan, that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." This morning, through the word of God, we have had a brief glimpse into the many wonders of the day of the Lord. "He which testifieth of these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.
Amen.
Do you close in prayer, Bert? Heavenly
Father, thank you, Lord, that you're out in the heart. Thank past, heaven, and future for the sovereignty of our Lord.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, the gospel message preached to the apostle Paul, he said that all the counsel of God, our brother has taught to bring that post this morning in the ministry here, all the counsel of God. Yes, Lord, indeed. The coming, second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that great day of the Lord, which will be like dark or light, which will bring in, of course, the tribulation period upon this world, then the millennial kingdom. Those who are blessed in Christ Jesus. There's a big warning there indeed. And thy word makes it very plain that the promise of Holy Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of history.
Yes.
But the product of history is Antichrist. Our precious Savior himself did warn the Pharisees in the day, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Where the law shall come in his own name, him you will receive, even the Jews themselves." Mm-hmm. There's a covenant with Antichrist. And all the world will worship this Antichrist for a while. But thank you, Lord, God is sovereign over all. And our Lord Jesus Christ will destroy all.
Mm-hmm.
One day, after the battle of Armageddon, he will throw him, the Antichrist, and the false prophet brought a raw rail out this morning, into the lake of fire. And after the millennial kingdom, he will cast Satan himself, and all of the angels, everyone, into the lake of fire. But he is over, God is over all. And we thank the Lord indeed. The prophet of old said, "If our Lord Jesus Christ, he shall not fail."
Mm-hmm.
He's overall victorious with this called Calvary. At his first coming, he is overall victorious in the great day of the Lord at his second coming. We thank and praise thy name.
Yes.
For God has made this very plain this morning. We thank the Lord for his ministry and the blessing upon it. And we praise thy name. That's here, scripture outline. He's not quoting tongues or anybody else. He's quoting just the word of God as clear as it is written, that God be true and every man a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for our Lord's point this morning. One day God will create a new heaven and a new earth, for undwelling righteousness. Our precious Savior taught the disciples of us to pray, "Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Bible itself is a book of the coming of the kingdom of God, our God made that plain. And one day that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, only in the eternal kingdom. There will be no more Satan, no more fallen angels, no more demons, no more sinners. Our brother's already mentioned that all be in the lake of fire, but after that, the new heaven and new earth will be there, and we who are saved, we're born again in the Spirit of God, will spend all eternity with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and eternal blessing. We thank you. This is Timmy's out this morning. Thank you for blessing the Lord, ministry, Lord, and we pray that people who listen, and that will give an earnest heed to the things they've heard, lest you let them drift away and go to a lost sinner's hell, which I've already mentioned this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of thy word of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious and blessed wonder of him, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Bert.
Yes, Lord.